It's a real gift to be with you today, and I've really been enjoying this series. We've been unpacking the Gospel of John, chapter 14. I had a frustrating experience at work a while ago. I was with an organization, and I had a leadership role at that particular time, and I had a colleague whose responsibility it was to take information that I gave to him and disseminate it to the team because our organization was large enough where, you know, I couldn't talk to everybody at the same time. And so, you know, his responsibility was to, we'd have meetings and then he'd go and share the outcome of those meetings with his team. And one day, somebody from the team came to me and said, "Gareth, I'm going to give him the name John. John said that you said such and such and such," and went on and on and on. I was like, "I didn't say that." And that's, even if I did, that's not what I meant. And then the person was like, "That's what I said. I told him, I said, I know you, and you wouldn't say anything like that. I know how you work. I know your core values. I know you, so I know you wouldn't say anything like that." And then a couple weeks go by, someone else comes up to me. "Gareth, John said that you said such and such." I said, "No, I didn't." And they said the same thing. "That's what I said. I told him, I know you, and you wouldn't say anything like that." And so John apparently had some problems. Who doesn't? But he was kind of spreading not only correct information, but also mixed in with that some misinformation as well. And the people who knew me could discern what came from me and what didn't. Now, I had chosen John to be my channel to communicate with the team. And even though the team had access to the right channel, if they didn't know me, they wouldn't be able to discern what I said and what I didn't say. When God speaks, we often talk about the proper channels to hear from God, to know what God is saying in your life. We talk about scripture, we talk about prayer, we talk about worship, we talk about creation. But if we don't know who God is, it makes it hard to discern what God is really saying. Does that make sense? Like, how many times have we seen God misrepresented by people who claim the proper channels, right? "Well, this is what the Bible says," or "This is what God told me in prayer." But what they're communicating, we know that God didn't say that. No. You know, how many times have we seen, you know, for example, the Bible used to oppress people rather than liberate people, right? And so having access to the right channels is only the first step. The next step is then to have an understanding of who God is so that we can discern whether or not what we're hearing through those channels is God or is not God. And so, you know, hearing from God, knowing the voice of God in your life is one of the greatest joys of walking with God. You know? And so I want us to talk a little bit today about how we can know God better so that we can discern God's voice more clearly in our lives. So we can discern what God is saying in our lives. You know, and the reason that knowing God is important is because sometimes we confuse the channel with God. Like, John was my channel, but he wasn't me. Right? God has channels that God uses to speak through, but those channels are not God himself, right? If you ever hear somebody say, well, my pastor said, okay, yeah, sure, your pastor said that, but your pastor's not God. So your pastor's fallible, right? Or I read this in the Bible, and so this is who God is. This is what it says. Well, okay. You interpreted the Bible that way. God uses the Bible to speak. But the Bible, who has a Bible with them? Give me a Bible. Okay. I'm not lifting up God right now. I'm not putting God on the pew right now. Right? The Bible, God uses the Bible, but God is not the Bible. Right? Right? The word, capital W, is different from the word, lowercase w. Okay? So just because you quote something from the word doesn't mean you're speaking for the word. Okay? So God uses different channels to speak to us, but without an understanding of who God is, it makes it difficult to discern what God said, what God didn't say. So how do we go about knowing God better? And I'm glad you asked that question. Because in our text today, in John 14, it becomes clear that the disciples, their experience of God, their journey of discerning God's voice and God's action in their lives had been compromised because they didn't have a full understanding of who God was. And so it compromised their experience of God. And Jesus gives them a tool for knowing God, for them to be able to more consistently and clearly hear God and know what God is doing. And that same tool will help us in our journey as we're trying to figure out, what is God telling me? What is God trying to speak to me? How is God leading me in my life? Okay? And we're going to pick up in verse 7 of John chapter 14. Jesus said, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Now, this little interaction is easy to skip over, but it says a lot. Because Jesus is telling his disciples, now when he says from now on, he's not saying, this is an idiom, he's not saying, okay, from this point forward. He's saying from now on in terms of the totality of your experience with me. Okay, so he's talking about the totality of their experience with him. He says, from now on, or from the totality of your experience from me, past, present, and future, you know God and have seen God. But then Philip says, well, really? He's thinking, really? We have? Well, show us. Which tells us that Philip, and I would assume other disciples as well, didn't believe what Jesus was saying. They didn't think or believe that they knew God, had seen God, had been exposed and been around God. Uh-huh. And so Philip's like, well, if that's true, show us. So what that tells us is God was operating in their lives, speaking in their lives, and they didn't know it. Have you ever had to, has God ever had to tell you something 50 million times through 50 different people for you to then start going, you know what, I think God's trying to tell me something. You know what I mean? Like, and this is kind of what the disciples were going through, because God was like active and present and revealing his heart and speaking, and but they just didn't know that it was going on. And it's because the God in their mind did not match the God in their presence. And so there was nothing going on in their experience that made them think, this reminds me of somebody. This reminds me. Because the God that they had conceptualized in their own mind did not match what was going on in their experience. And so they were just completely oblivious to what God was doing in and through and around them all along. So Jesus gives them a little tool here. Look what he says. He goes, Jesus answered, said, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me?" So what Jesus is saying here, now when he says, "Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?" So he's asking a question, but he's really making a point, which is what Jesus does sometimes. Jesus is just very, his mind just, he's deep. But he's like, he's asking a question, but he's making a point. And he's saying, to know God, believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me. When Jesus says, believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, when he says believe, he's not talking about like the way you believe in the tooth fairy or believe in Santa Claus. He's talking about the way you believe in your doctor or believe in your children or believe in your best friend, like a confidence, a trust. Yeah? And so he's saying, trust, have confidence in the fact that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And what that means is, who I am, trust that who I am is wrapped up in who the Father is, and who the Father is wrapped up in who I am, and that we reveal each other, right? Which is what he said before. He said, if you knew me, you would know the Father. All right, so what Jesus is saying here, and this is the point, to know God, trust the revelation given in Jesus. To know God, trust the revelation given in Jesus. This is what Jesus is saying to his disciples. If you know me, you know the Father. And so, you know, for the disciples, they had their own concept of who God was. And it didn't always line up with who Jesus was in their presence. That's why, even though the disciples respected what Jesus said, they didn't always agree with what he did. Remember when Jesus wanted to go to Jerusalem and the disciples were like, "No, don't you dare go there." And Jesus had to tell them, "You need to know your place. I'm going." He said, "Get behind me, Satan," is what he said. He said, "Hold on now." And what about when he tried to wash their feet? And Peter was like, "Don't you dare wash my feet." They didn't always agree with what he did, which meant that they didn't understand that he was revealing what God is like. Sometimes when he did things, the disciples weren't going, "Yeah, that reminds me of God." They were like disagreeing with him, trying to stop him. And they didn't always understand what he did. Always didn't understand what he said, even though they respected him. They hadn't reached to the point where they understood that this is God in the flesh. As it says in John chapter 1, that the eternal word became flesh and dwelled among us. And it says that no one has ever seen God, but God, the eternal Son, has made him known. That's what it says in John 1. To know God, trust the revelation given in Jesus. If you want to know who God is and be able to discern whether or not what you're hearing from the different channels in Scripture, in prayer, through instruction, through teaching, through a pastor, through your friends and community, through creation, start with Jesus. And so how do we apply this? Very simple truth. There's three ways we can apply this. The first is study Jesus. And trust that what you're seeing is God in action. Study Jesus and trust that what you're seeing is God in action. Don't look for God in Jesus. Let Jesus tell you who God is. There's a difference. Because sometimes we look at the stories of Jesus and we say, oh, that's the God part. Like when he's walking on water and when he's doing miracles, that's the God part. And we try to compartmentalize the revelation of God in Jesus rather than letting the life of Jesus tell us who God is. You see the difference? So I don't go to the text trying to find my concept of God in the life of Jesus. I let the life of Jesus tell me who God is. So that's what Jesus means when he says, believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me. Trust that when you see me, you're seeing God in action. Trust what I'm telling you about who God is. Trust that when I wash your feet, I'm telling you about who God is. I'm not pretending. I'm telling you who God is. I'm a servant because God is a servant. I'm humble and meek because God is humble and meek. I'm gentle and I care about people because God is that way. I stop. If I'm on my way somewhere and somebody calls out my name, I stop because that's the way God is. Let the life of Jesus tell you about who God is. All right? So number two, it's kind of related to number one, is read the Bible like a mountain. You may have heard me talk about this before. Read the Bible like a mountain. And let me explain what that is. Maureen, can I use your Bible again, please? Thank you. Okay. I promise I'll be gentle. Okay. So read the Bible like a mountain. So if you can imagine the Bible as a mountain, okay? And we're going to start with Genesis here and Revelation here and the Gospels here. So the Old Testament is good, but it's always pointing to something greater than itself. There's a lot of foreshadowing. There's a lot of imagery that points ahead of itself to what God will do in the life of Jesus in the Gospels. And then when you get into the New Testament letters, you have Paul, you have, you know, Romans, Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians, and such. And what they're doing is reflecting on, they're pointing backwards to something greater than itself, which is the revelation of God in Jesus. Some people read the Bible like a plain, like a flat land. And whatever I read in Leviticus is the same as whatever I read in Romans is the same as whatever I read in Exodus is the same as whatever I read in Revelation. Okay? But the scripture itself says in Hebrews that God spoke to us in many different ways through the prophets, but has spoken to us in these last days through his Son, who is the exact imprint of God's glory. And the Bible says, Jesus says, if you want to know the Father, you got to know me. And so we read the Bible like a mountain. We don't disregard the Old Testament. We don't disregard the New Testament. But we understand that what's happening in the Old Testament is preliminary. And what's happening in the New Testament is reflective of the greatest revelation of God we have, which is in Jesus. Okay? And if I trust, if that's how you practically apply what Jesus is saying here when he says, believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me. You don't get any better revelation than what you get in Jesus. Yeah? Okay. Thank you, Maureen. All right, so that's number two. Now, if you're really thinking, if you're putting your thinking cap on, you might be saying, well, Gareth, okay, if the Bible is a channel and I need to know who God is in order to understand God's voice, discern God's voice through that channel, and you're telling me to use the channel to know who God is. Is something wrong with that? And it kind of begs the question, why doesn't God just speak to us directly? Just get rid of all, just cut out the middleman and just, you know, however you want to do it, God, just reveal yourself to me directly so that there's none of this confusion. None of this confusion about, you know, whether or not I need to discern whether or not what this person over here is saying is true, whether or not this person over here is saying is true, whether or not what I'm hearing is true. Just cut out all the confusion. Just speak to me directly. Why doesn't God just speak to me directly? Why do you make it so hard? Because like you feel that way sometimes. Like, why I gotta do all this work? Let me tell you why. Okay? Which goes to the third point. Embrace the community experience of walking with God. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is a community. God is a community. And by using creation, different elements of creation, to communicate to us, to speak to us, you know, the scripture, you know, nature, people, all these different things are aspects of God's creation because they're all things that God created, right? By using these different aspects of God's creation, God compels us to live in community with each other, which is the way God lives. If God spoke to me directly, I wouldn't need the sky and the mountains and the animals to tell me something about who God is. If God just spoke to me directly, I wouldn't need you, and you wouldn't need me. But there's something about God compelling us to live in community with each other. If you want to hear from me, if you want to walk with me, you have to live in community with your neighbor. You've got to get along with your neighbor. You've got to get along with what I've created. You've got to treat. And if I need the mountains and I need the animals and I need you and I need you know, writings and scripture in order to walk with God and have a relationship with God, then I'm going to treat these things a little differently, aren't I? Now I need you. I really need you. Now, I really, really need you. And Jesus, he said, what's the greatest commandment? To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to do what? Love your neighbor as yourself. God wants us to be together, to live together in community. And the fact that God uses his creation and uses people to speak to us just goes to testify to the fact of how important community is to God. We're not just a bunch of individuals. We're meant to live together. And so we have to just embrace the fact that God loves community. And if we want to hear from God and we want to learn how to discern God's voice, then we just have to embrace the community dynamic of walking with God. We can't get around it. If you want to grow, it's going to happen in community. If you want to hear from God more clearly, more consistently, it's going to happen in community. Can't get away from it. So we might as well just embrace it. Might as well just embrace it. Might as well just say, okay, well, this is the way it is. All right. Right? It's kind of like when you have an argument with your spouse and you go, well, we got to be together, so we might as well make it work. I ain't going nowhere. You're not going nowhere, so we might as well make it work. Right? Well, can't do nothing about it, so we might as well make it work. Yeah, it's the same thing. All right, so just embracing that community aspect. So, you know, so studying the life of Jesus and trusting that what you're seeing is God in action, reading the Bible like a mountain, embracing the community experience of walking with God. These are tools that I believe will help you to know God better and to discern God's voice with more consistency and clarity in your life. You know, what if you are in the same position the disciples are in? What if God has been speaking to you all along and revealing his heart to you all along and doing things in your life all along and you just didn't realize it? You wouldn't be the first one to experience that. That's usually the way it works. That's usually the way it works. It's like when you finally start to discern the voice of God in your life, it's like, whoa, like, that's what that was for. That's what God was doing back then. That's why I had to go through this. That's what, and you just start, and your whole view of your past begins to change Because now all of a sudden your past begins to be illuminated with the voice and the activity of God in your life. The question isn't, is God speaking to me? The question is, can I hear it? Am I catching it? Am I discerning it? Because God wants to talk to you. God wants to speak to you. God wants to lead you. As much as you want to know God's voice, as much as you want to follow God's lead, as much as you want to know God's will, God wants it for you. And so what if, when you begin to apply these principles to your life, what if your view of your whole life begins to change, your whole past begins to change, your perspective begins to change, because now I can begin to discern God's voice more clearly, more consistently in my life. What a joy that would be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity we have of walking with you. Thank you for firstly inviting us home to be loved by you, to be accepted by you. Thank you for revealing yourself in Jesus, for giving us a chance and opportunity to get to know you better. Thank you for the ways in which you've already been speaking in our lives, revealing your heart in our lives. And Lord, we're ready to attune our ears to your voice by learning more about who you are so that we can go, ah, yes, that's something God would say. Ah, yes, that sounds like something God would say. Lord, we thank you for the community experience of walking with God. Yes, it would be so much easier if you just spoke to us directly. We admit that. It'd be so much easier. But Lord, we'd miss out on community. And community is the way you live, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So Lord, just if we struggle with that, if we struggle with that, having to need other people and need other things outside of ourselves to walk with you, help us with that. Help us embrace the necessity of community in order to know you better. And we look forward to all the ways in which you will speak to us, you will lead us, you will show us who we are, who you made us to be, what you made us for, give us understanding of our past, why we went through the things we went through, so that we can be an encouragement to somebody else. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As our worship team sings, I just invite you to spend some time in prayer, reflection. From today's message, I encourage you to take a step of faith today. Take some notes on your connection card or on your journal and your sermon notes, and I'll be right back. Amen. Would you please stand as we close our service? I pray you've been encouraged today. I encourage you to bring a friend, neighbor, coworker with you next week as we continue this series, A Beautiful Place. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and give you peace. May you fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, that you may know God better and discern God's voice in your life and God's presence, God's activity in your life more clearly, leading you, encouraging you, uplifting you, directing you, guiding you, teaching you, for you and for others around you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.